And I'm not seeing any from anybody, so we'll go to agenda item five, report and possible discussion from the Texas Water Development Board staff, John Maurer. You're up.
All right, well, it's only been about a month since our last meeting, but I do have a few updates for the group. Let's see. So the main one is that earlier this month, we distributed our county summary and rural entities documents. So these are county-specific documents that we have been developing for a while. They have a plethora of water supply planning information, data, and resources. And really, they're geared towards rural outreach and outreach to kind of at-risk entities. That has been a point of emphasis this cycle, and that is also part of the Chapter 10 write-up, included what rural outreach the planning group has taken. So hopefully that will be really helpful in doing that. Also on that distribution email was a list of rural entities. So there, this cycle, the Texas Water Co., we've kind of sharpened up the classification for what is a rural entity. And per that front, we provided a list of about, there's 205 rural entities in Region G. And so hopefully that will also be helpful for outreach. Those documents are posted online on the Regional Water Planning Documents page. Last Friday, we hosted a training for the uniform costing model. So the Water Board is contracted with HDR to develop a tool in order to cost water management strategy projects and provide some consistent high-level cost estimates for those. And so Tony was there at the training, and that's mainly for the consultants, but that tool and the user manual are also online on the Regional Water Planning Documents page. So hopefully that will be helpful in developing the plan. Another tool we released earlier this month is an optional tool. It's the drought management costing tool. Essentially, as y'all know, using drought management strategies is optional, should be considered, not necessarily evaluated. If it is evaluated, further optional to use this tool. This is helpful for estimating costs and water savings for drought management strategies. It focuses on something called lost consumer surplus. Not totally sure how that works, but you can contact our staff with more information on that. There are some examples of drought management strategies in Exhibit C if anyone wants to find out more about that. And again, the tool and the user manual for that are posted online on the, again, Regional Water Planning Documents page. So a lot of stuff being posted on there. Can check those out for more information on those, or just stop me if you have any questions on any of those. Also, in that distribution email was a little note on a recent report from the Water Conservation Advisory Council. So they did a survey. They surveyed some public water systems on drought management, kind of best practices, what works, what doesn't work, related to voluntary curtailment, enforcement, AMI, as well as a few other things. So some pretty interesting results there. I don't think they're posted online, but they were in that distribution email. If anyone's curious about that, find me and I can share that with you. A few just quick things. The water use surveys closed on March 1st, and then past due entities who haven't completed those were contacted again. The water service boundary viewer, which is helpful for us on a couple different data and planning fronts, is open for editing. I think I talked about this last time too. Still open for editing until July 1st, so public water systems can go edit their boundaries as they update or need changing. And then the technical memorandum that was submitted on time and has been deemed administratively complete. And so that means it's good to go. If we have any, so TWDB staff has kind of begun reviewing it, making sure water availability and supply information looks good. And if we have any comments or questions, those will be provided in early summer. Informal comments don't need like a change or response, but just kind of getting that review process started for as we start developing the IPP and heading down that road. The Agricultural Water Conservation Grant is still open until April 3rd. There is a webinar today. It is happening in 20 minutes, so might be able to make it if we hurry through this. But if not, the recordings are posted online. So anyway.
Thank you, John.
Yep. If anybody's interested in it, you know. Then next chair's call will be in April. No date determined yet, but we'll hopefully get that out soon. And then last but not least, Texas Water Fund. Always more information on that. We're still receiving feedback for the rulemaking or the implementation of that. There are three surveys, one on the rules, I think, one on kind of the definition of new water and how we want to consider that, and then one for the public awareness campaign, which I'm particularly excited about because a lot of studies show public awareness really helps people focus on conservation and just generally being aware of water in their area. So if anyone wants to provide feedback on those, the surveys are open. There was a work session in Austin last week. And there's still one more. It's in Lubbock, which is kind of far, but maybe potentially close for some of y'all in the northwest corner of the region. So can attend that on April 10th. There will also be a board meeting in Lubbock on April 11th. So a lot of stuff in Lubbock. And then a few last updates just on the Interregional Planning Council. They released their report. We talked about this at the last meeting, but just wanted to include their recommendations for just so that they're in the meeting notes or materials, and y'all can look at that if they want to. A couple things, their recommendations to the legislature were a lot to do with funding, so that could be of interest. Specifically related to, let's see here, supporting interregional coordination, supporting long-term visionary planning, disseminating information, and then administering or labor costs for administering the regional water planning groups. So that could be of interest as their recommendation for funding. And then they also recommending providing financial incentives for local sponsorship, initial sponsorship of projects by the state without guarantees from local sponsors, establishing a coordination process among state agencies for installation of infrastructure during planning and construction of large-scale projects. They recommended striking simplified planning from the statute, as I'm pretty sure no one has even exercised that option to date yet. Authorizing the use of conferences or one-way conferencing or webinars. And then they also had some recommendations to the board as well as future interregional planning councils. Those mainly focus on best practices and lessons learned and communicating what they have developed and learned to the future interregional planning councils. So that concludes my report.
Any questions for John? Thank you, John.
Yeah.